ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
దయచేసి మీ సెల్ ఫోన్ స్విచ్ ఆఫ్ చేయండి సార్. దయచేసి అందరూ కూర్చోండి. మీ యొక్క సెల్ ఫోన్ నిశ్శబ్దంగా ఉండాలి, స్విచ్ ఆఫ్ చేయండి.
Yeah, even someone's ringtone was Vishnu Sahasranam, which is very nice, but anyway, please turn it off. The subject of tonight's speech is, who is the, what is that? Ananta Akila Brahma, Brahmanda Nayaka. Who is the leader of the unlimited, undivided universes? So, yeah. Or in other words, who is the Parameshwara Purushottam, the Supreme Personality of Godhead? And it's pretty easy for all of you to guess that I'm going to give the answer is Krishna. Because we are from the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Not Shiva Consciousness or Jesus Consciousness or Sai Baba Consciousness. So it's pretty obvious that we're going to give the answer that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. However, we want to present that this is not just simply some blind faith. Or some sectarian belief. That we have a very good reason to accept that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, many people today think that if you're really intelligent, you don't believe in God. They think that, well, if you're really intelligent, then you know science, and then if you know science, you don't believe in God. Although why, because one studies science, one should not believe in God, that's not a very intelligent proposition. If by science you can understand the incredible complexity of this everything in the world, we can understand that there's some great intelligence behind this. Just like, for instance, to give an example, this is an iPhone, something like that. It is patented. Why is it patented? Because so much intelligence went into its design and production.
Mm-hmm.
So in a world which is in which the main god is money, it's considered that people should be able to make money out of their intelligent designing. So if one iPhone requires so much intelligent design, then it should be obvious that the whole universe, which is much more complex than an iPhone, requires intelligent design. Even the most simple cell in our body is far more complex than an iPhone. Now, if someone duplicates the iPhone and so he gets a legal case against him,
and so,
He says, well, it's patented, you can't just copy it. So the defendant may say, no, they see it just came into being by chance. There's no designer of an iPhone. There's no intelligence behind it. That won't be accepted in a court of law. So why should we accept as scientific that the whole universe, which is unlimitedly more complex than an iPhone, does come into being without any intelligent designer? It's a foolish proposition. So he may say, well, you see, so many big scientists, they don't believe in God, so it must be correct, they're very intelligent people. But then there are so many scientists who do believe in God, which just goes to prove the point that by science you can't prove or disprove God. Because with the same information available to them, some scientists come to the conclusion that there is no God, and some scientists come to the conclusion that there is God. So actually, by human endeavor alone, which is science, is a human endeavor to try to understand the universe. We cannot understand the nature of God. But actually, the scientists who don't believe in God, they're not very intelligent. And you may be shocked and say, no, they're very intelligent. They have big university degrees. They made so many scientific discoveries. So, well, in one sense we can say they're intelligent. But if one makes so many scientific theories but comes up with the wrong conclusion, then he's still wrong. If someone says that a frog is a cat, they're wrong. Even if Einstein said that a frog is a cat, he would be wrong. So you may be a very big intelligent scientist, but if you deny the intelligence behind the universe, then you're wrong. So to stick to the conclusion that a frog is a cat is foolishness. Same way, if we stick to the conclusion that there is no God, that is foolishness. It might be very sophisticated foolishness. So the first thing to understand is that there is God. And He is a person. We find some people, they say, yes, we accept God, but then they don't accept that He's a person. There's so much disagreement over the nature of God. How can we know who is God? Science won't help us. By science, we can't understand. If you look through your telescope, you won't find God. If you look through a microscope, you won't find God. If you make various mathematical formulae, you won't find God. Although someone, Gödel, he's made some theory by which he wants to mathematically prove that there is God. The very nature of God is that He is beyond the power of our limited senses and intelligence to grasp. That means that He is inconceivable. The word is achintya. But achintya doesn't mean unknowable, agyeya. It doesn't mean that. Achintya means that by our own unaided effort, we cannot understand God. We require His mercy. The method to understand God is given by God Himself. That is, we have to understand from Shastra. So then people may say, well, there are different Shastras. That's true. Someone may accept, I accept the Bible. Some may say, I accept the Quran. Some may say, I accept the Vedas. We have to understand from Shastra, which is the message of God, given to us by God to understand Him. But we have to understand also that there are different manifestations of God's message to different people in different times and places according to their level of understanding. Srimad Bhagavatam is given by Vedavyas as his ultimate contribution. In which he establishes who is God. That is also established by his father in the Parashara Muni, in the Vishnu Purana. When we say God, what do we mean? There's a specific meaning that's given in the Vishnu Purana. Aishvaryasya samagrasya viryasya yashasya shriyaha jnana vairagya yoschaiva shannang bhaga itingina. One is God, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, if he is complete in six qualities. One who possesses unlimited wealth is God. One who possesses unlimited power is God. One who is unlimitedly famous is God. One who is unlimitedly beautiful is God. One who is all-knowing is God. And one who is completely detached from everything is God. So if we see the descriptions within Shastra of various personalities, we have to conclude that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because he possesses all these qualities in full. If we are to understand God, we have to understand God from Shastra. The essence of all Shastra is Bhagavad Gita. Now someone may say that, well, no, I like to follow the Bible. And many people ask me, well, how is it that you come from a Christian country that you accept the Bhagavad Gita? Well, frankly, I was raised in the Christian culture, but there were questions I asked that they couldn't answer. One of the main problems in Christian theology is the problem of what's called the problem of evil. If God is all good and he is all powerful, why does he allow so many bad things to happen? It's a question which they can't answer properly. But from the Vedic knowledge, it's very easily answered, as stated in Bhagavad Gita. Purusha sukha dukkha nam bhuktritve hetu ruchyate. We ourselves in this world create by our actions our own happiness and distress. Why is there suffering in the world? We create that situation. We take birth after birth after birth, and according to how we act, we get a reaction in future lives. I also asked, well, if Jesus is the only way, then how is it that some people are born in situations where they can never hear about Jesus? So many people lived in India previously, they never heard of Jesus. So does that mean that God likes the European people more? He doesn't like the Indian people?
No.
This question, I asked this question to the priest, they couldn't answer. And also, we see that, for instance, in India, there's a very highly developed culture of God consciousness. So how can you say that they'll say, well, no, that's all the work of the devil. Why is it the work of the devil? People have sincere, realized devotion to God, and you very, very cruelly and wrongly say that, no, 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 only Jesus, everything else is the devil. So, everything was answered by the Bhagavad Gita. That we get birth after birth after birth. Oh, another question was that, yeah, you only have one lifetime, and if you don't do it right in one lifetime, then you'll go to hell forever. But from the Bhagavad Gita we understand that God is actually kind and He gives us many, many opportunities in many, many births. So that kind of philosophy that they have in Christianity, it's even as a child, if one's a little bit curious, then it won't satisfy him. It requires blind faith. Similarly in Islam, they say you have to follow, otherwise you go to hell. Blind faith is required. But the approach of Bhagavad Gita is quite different. Krishna doesn't tell Arjuna, listen Arjuna, you just shut up and do what I say and don't think. Krishna tells Arjuna, jnanam teham savijnanam idam vakshyam yasheshatah yajgyatva neha bhuyo nyajgyatavyam avashishyate. He says, I will now explain to you jnana and vijnana, knowledge and the practical application of knowledge. I shall explain it to you fully, by knowing which you won't have to know anything else. He says to Arjuna, Raja Vidya Raja Guhyam Pavitramidam Uttamam Pratyakshavagamang Dharmyam Susukam Kartam Avyayam. He says this is the king of knowledge, the most secret of all secrets, the most pure knowledge which one can directly perceive, and which one can perform joyfully forever. So it's not blind faith, it's knowledge. And it makes sense. Krishna first of all teaches that we're not the body. This body is chemicals. It's made of hydrogen, oxygen, carbon. You don't have to translate this. You can if you like. Carbon, what's that in Telugu, Sanskritam. I don't know. There must be some word. Mercury, if you're taking Ayurvedic medicines, you might have some mercury in there. All different chemicals. So if what do they say? The body is what? How much? 98% water? So that means that you're mostly hydrogen. You can buy a hydrogen balloon for how much? If you go to the fair, they sell hydrogen balloons for 20 rupees or something like that. So you're worth 20 rupees. You're mostly hydrogen, is it? But actually, if you combine hydrogen with oxygen, it's water. And how much water in your body? A few gallons. Okay, you can get Bisleri water. So, but we are not chemicals. You don't need to have a university degree to understand. I am not chemicals. I am a living being. I am not simply chemicals. I am Atma. So Krishna teaches that before the body, this present combination of chemicals existed, we existed. After this body dies, we shall continue to exist. So this is spiritual knowledge. Therefore it is called Veda. Veda means Vidya, knowledge. And in the Bhagavad Gita, which is the essence of all Vedic knowledge, Krishna establishes that He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vedaischa sarvair aham eva vedyaha. In all the Vedas, the object of knowledge is Krishna Himself. So we don't despise Jesus, but Jesus presented Himself as a Son of God, not as directly God Himself. Now, what's this saying? Ananta kila brahmanda koti nayak? Is that how you, is that what it is? Ananta koti brahmanda nayak. They say that about Sai Baba. But there's no mention of Sai Baba in any shastra. It's just something, a modern invention. Some people recently means in the last 100 years or so, people started to think that Sai Baba is God. So, but Vedvyas never mentioned anything about it. All the great rishis, they never mentioned anything about him. Shankara, Ramanuja, Madhvacharya, none of them ever mentioned Sai Baba. It's complete nonsense to think that he's the Supreme. We say, well, so many people accept him as Supreme. But it's the same thing. If 100 million people, that's 10 crores of people, is it or what? If they say, if hundreds and thousands of people say that a frog is a cat, still a frog is not a cat. And it's typical of Kali Yuga that people accept wrong to be right. They take asat to be sat and sat to be asat. They take dharma to be adharma and adharma to be dharma. So, for those who want to be free from the darkness of illusion in this Kali Yuga, they should take the message of Bhagavad Gita as it is. As it is means to accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And for further elucidation, we should study Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna swadhamo pagate dharma gyana dibi saha kalo nashta drishame shapuranarko duno ditaha. Krishna left this world 5,000 years ago. Then Kali Yuga entered in full force. And in Kali Yuga, people lose all their spiritual vision. Krishna is the very personality of dharma, jnana, and all other auspicious qualities. But people who have lost their spiritual vision in this Kali Yuga will get dharma, jnana, and all auspicious qualities from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Which is just like the bright blazing sun of spiritual knowledge. Tesham aditya vajjnanam prakashayati tatparam. Just as the sun arises and illuminates, so when knowledge arises, then one can see everything very clearly. So you're all very fortunate. You have taken birth in this pious land of Bharata Bhumi. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's merciful Harinam Prem Sankirtan movement is going on at this time. Take advantage of that. Don't be fooled by all this fanaticism. Understand properly that it is Krishna who we have to give our heart to. We have to surrender, that is Sharanagati, we have to know who to surrender to. He is Sharanyam. He is the one who is the proper person to take shelter in. Hare Krishna. Does anyone have any question, please?
Gracias.
If a person has the strong desire, then can side over his family.
If someone has a strong desire, then can Sai Baba incarnate? I don't understand. What's the meaning? What's the question? What does it mean, can Sai Baba incarnate? If someone has a strong desire, can a frog become a cat? If someone strongly desires that a frog is a cat, does a frog become a cat? No. A frog is not a cat. So you may strongly desire that Sai Baba is God, but he's not. Our desire, we are very tiny living beings. It's because we have so many wrong desires that we're in this material world. So Shastra teaches us how to desire properly. We desire we will live very happily in this world with my wife and children, but the nature of this world is that everything is destroyed in course of time. We may desire very strongly that I will live forever with my wife and children, but everything is destroyed in course of time. The idea that the universe should operate according to my desire is Ravana's idea. By your desire, you can't make Sai Baba or anyone else into God. Krishna is God, was God, and always will be God. Sai Baba was never God, is not God, and never will be God. You can desire as much as you like, but it's just not going to happen. So get in sync with reality. Reality is that you are part and parcel of Krishna. Mamaivangsho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatanaha. Krishna says, every living being is my angsha. Sai Baba is also an angsha of Krishna. In fact, the jiva who is in Sai Baba's body is somewhere else now. Maybe one of those mosquitoes flying around is that Sai Baba you're worshipping. The jiva is very, very, very small. Bhagavan is very, very, very great. To identify a jiva as Bhagavan is very offensive. You may think that it's very pious and religious to worship Sai Baba, but actually it's very offensive to Krishna. Aparadam. Yeah, okay. What's his question? Jai.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Hare Krishna.
Sir, until now I am hearing you as your conversation in there, which everybody is hearing. I am not sure. Very good. Sir, I am extremely sorry that many of us, we don't believe Sai Baba as God. I don't know how you came to know about somebody believing Sai Baba as God. Okay? We believe Krishna as God, no doubt about it. Okay? But we believe Sai Baba as Jagat Guru. That is the, because we believe him as a guru, he is just like a Jesus, as you are born in that country, a disciple. The thing is, Jesus, you said, you admit that Jesus is the Son of God. Am I right? And you said before, the same thing holds good. Sai Baba is quite a disciple of God. He never said that he is God. He put Chapelama, Sai Baba and Devonani.
Then why do so many people worship
him?
Why do people worship him as God? 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 Why? No, that is an offense. That is wrong. To worship him as Krishna is wrong, because he's not Krishna.
I'm not saying as Krishna, as Guru.
No.
There are many gurus in this world. Okay?
No, you have to understand Krishna is supreme. You don't worship anyone on the same level. What's this? Akhil? What is this? They say this about Sai Baba? So say it. Or in Hindi, you see it everywhere in North India, the picture of Sai Baba, Sab Ke Malik Ek. So why are they promoting this rascal as being the God?
Sir,
I say he's a rascal because he is taking the position of God and not teaching that Krishna is supreme. Therefore, he is a cheater. And you also are a cheater. You also are a cheater if you don't accept. Why not? Why not? If some, have you read Bhagavad Gita? Do you know Bhagavad Gita?
One minute.
Wait a minute. Do you know Bhagavad Gita?
What?
Do you know Bhagavad Gita?
Everybody knows something or the other.
Okay. You tell me what is the meaning of this verse. Namang duskritino mudha prapadyante naradhamaha. Maya parita jnana asurang bhavam ashritaha. What is the meaning of this verse? What is the meaning of this verse? Listen. You want to speak. Stop. Don't talk now. You want to talk as if you are a jnani, but you don't know Bhagavad Gita. You don't know Bhagavad Gita. You say don't say bad words, but I'm saying Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that those who do not surrender to me are murha. Murha means a fool. You are a fool, according to Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. Dushkriti means rascal. You don't want to surrender to Krishna, therefore you are a rascal. Yeah. So this is another wrong idea that one should not say bad words. Translate.
Okay.
But in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Namang Duskritin O Mura, he used the word Duskriti, which means a sinful rascal. He says Naradhama, the lowest among mankind. Wait a minute. Krishna says Naradhama, the lowest among mankind. He says Maya Aparita Jnana, someone who thinks that he's very learned, but actually he doesn't know anything, like this gentleman here. So we should preach against this Sai Baba worship. So many people are worshipping him, they should be worshipping Krishna. They say he's a guru, but if he's a guru, he should teach people to surrender to Krishna. Instead, they call him, what is this, Akhila Brahman? Yeah. Please speak in the mic. Which shastra are you talking about? There are 18 Mahapuranas. So can you tell me exactly which shloka you're talking about? You see, you may hear so many things. One generation ago, people used to read Amar Chitra Katha. Or they used to watch the TV show of Krishna. But if you want actual knowledge, you have to seriously hear Shastra from the Acharyas. If you just come up and say, well, I heard something somewhere, how can we accept that? Vaikuntha is far, far beyond this material universe. That is the spiritual world. That is Satchit Anandamai. This material world is Asat Achit Nirananda. It's a different nature altogether. So you try and understand this spiritual knowledge properly from Shastra. It's not any you can't measure in miles how far away Vaikuntha is.
ఎవరైనా ప్రశ్నలు ఉంటే దయచేసి ఎవరైనా సరే ఏ ప్రశ్న అడగవచ్చు. ఈరోజు మనం చర్చించిన అనుకోవచ్చు.
Explain the creation. Well, well, that's a very big topic. Basically, very simply, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Aham sarvasya prabhavo matah sarvam pravartate. Everything comes from me. Maya dhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam hetuna anena kunteya jagadvi parivartate. Sri Krishna says that under my supervision, adhyaksha, suyate, everything comes into being, everything moving and non-moving. So that's it. Basically, in great detail, it's given in Srimad Bhagavatam. How there is the pradhan, which is the material energy in a non-manifest form. Then under the supervision of Mahavishnu, the time element enters and that becomes what is called Mahatattva. Then the different elements manifest. It's a vast topic actually. It's described in Srimad Bhagavatam in detail. There's no time to discuss that now. The most important thing to understand is that we don't belong in this material world. We belong in the spiritual world where there's no creation and no destruction. There is only eternal existence in the service of Krishna. That's why we should make it very clear to people what should be their aim. We don't hate anyone, but we should say clearly that people are being misled by wrong ideas. They should understand Krishna and go to Krishna. But if you worship Sai Baba, then you're not going to go to Krishna, you're going to spoil the opportunity of your human life. Sai Baba is not creating the universe.
He's asking why Lord took animal birth. He's referring to the avatars.
Oh, you mean like Varaha, Matsya? Yeah, everything he does, everything the Lord does is for his own pleasure and for the benefit of the world. When the Lord takes the form of Matsya avatar, he's not an ordinary fish, he's still the Supreme Lord. Actually, this exact question was asked by Parikshit Maharaj to Shukadev. We can find in the Srimad Bhagavatam. He said, the form of a fish, it's always condemned, it's very low karma. How is it that the Lord is in the form of a fish? And Shukadev, he clarified that you shouldn't think that he's some ordinary fish. He takes that form as his lila, his blissful spiritual activity. That was for a particular purpose. To save the Vedas and to save the and to give shelter to Satyavrata Muni and others. You please, you who's asking this question, you take one set of Srimad Bhagavatam. If you study that, you'll find it's a great ocean of transcendental spiritual knowledge. All questions will be answered fully. We'll even answer questions which you haven't even yet thought of asking. Okay, we'll finish.